Yep.
Bo hiss.
And now the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
Is it looking like Tom might be a game time decision?
Today's Friday.
Agenda Free Friday brought to you by Neshoba Valley Ski Area in Westford. Why drive when you can ski, ride, or tube so close to home? Visit SkiNeshoba.com.
Today's Friday.
Thank you, Bill. It damn straight it is. But it's an Agenda Free.
Today's Friday.
And so the latest is that Tom Brady practiced today. He spoke today. He's listed as questionable on the injury report, which means technically, well, the old equation used to be 50-50 that he'll play. I think it's 100% to zero that he'll play. And I think that the only thing that they've fudged in this whole thing is that injury report today, because I think he's probable, not questionable. And I think that Tom Brady not saying that he's going to play today at the podium was a put-on, because he's playing.
I mean, it's totally a put-on. That's a yank job. They're just jerking everybody around on that one.
But I think everything else is for real. I think he got hurt on Wednesday. I think that it's a real injury. It's impacted him. It's going to impact him. I don't think it's going to impact them nearly enough to lose the ball game. And I still, if I'm betting, saying that we're going to talk about Monday, Tom Brady defeating time and age and injury once again and having a great game on his way to his eighth Super Bowl is what I think is going to happen.
Meaning, again, to me, the real critical matchup for Jacksonville comes when they have the ball. And if they score, if the offense in Jacksonville does better than I thought, particularly in the passing game, well, then of course they have a chance to win. I just don't see it happening.
Okay, so I also had a source. I also got a little something on Brady's injury. Single source. I'm a single source kind of guy, where most real reporters go for two or three. I initially tried to get two or three and then gave up after like 20 minutes. I was like, this is stupid. Why do I want a second source to tell me about the first source being wrong and I don't have a story? So I just went with the one source.
It's very Doug Marone of you.
What if the one source is a good source?
My one source is a good source who I really trust. I really like and trust.
See, I think you're good to go if you have one source that's not even that good.
So I have one source that I really do like and trust. And this source tells me that Brady's injury, no fracture, no ligament, just cut from hitting a buckle on someone's helmet, four stitches around the knuckle, shouldn't affect him. Okay, which makes it sound like no big deal. I don't know if that last line I totally agree with. I mean, it's affected him. Maybe, you know, but anyway, that's what I was told. And now, when I first got that information, four stitches around the knuckle, I just sort of instinctively thought it meant the top knuckle on the thumb. And that's the knuckle. That's when I think of the knuckle of the thumb. I think of it up there. But I've also, and people have also said, and words going around, that it was the webbing between the thumb and the finger. And if that's the case, maybe my source meant the bottom knuckle, not the top knuckle. This is still a knuckle, right?
Sure.
Okay? So, So Ian Rappaport of NFL Network said that it was gushing blood, which would seem to make sense. If you're cutting it up by the top knuckle, I mean, you're not really...
I don't know if there's great blood flow there.
Here?
Towards the closer you get to the arm.
The web.
Yeah.
The web of the... Anyway, so that seems to make sense. It had to be stitched up. Again, four stitches. And then I also heard today that he practiced and did throw. And others have said now he was throwing really well. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network said he was throwing well. So that's what we know to this point. I think it's a real injury. I think it's impacted him. I think it could very well impact him Sunday, maybe significantly. Because even though it's not a break or a ligament damage, a cut on your hand on a cool day where you have to grip the ball and throw the ball is going to affect you. So I don't think it impacts the game. I think the Pats win this game going away.
I just think it's a big difference if the cut's on the back of the hand versus the front. You know, and because with the thumb. I mean, if it's on the pad of the thumb where he's actually gripping the ball, that's a problem. It is. That's a problem.
Well, I'm freaked out about it until further notice. Until
you still are.
Yeah, until I actually see him throw a football and it looks crisp and Brady looks like Brady. Yeah, I'm remaining freaked out, and I have no problem feeling that way. By the way, just an update. We now know who the third potential quarterback could be. Worst case scenario, if Brady goes down, then Hoyer goes down. Jacob Hollister. Jacob Hollister apparently played college at his first college. Yeah.
Okay. And is that according to somebody or?
Yeah. No. The report here. It's he transferred to Arizona Western Community College. Hollister began the move from quarterback to tight end.
When you say report here, whose report? What do you mean?
This was taken from someone's story about him
during the year.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Why do I feel better about it if Jacob Hollister comes in than if Brian Hoyer gets in there?
And you know what? Again, this may be dumb. I think they beat the Jags with Jacob Hollister. I do. I think you can run the same game plan against this team you ran against that Houston game on Thursday night. bootlegs, runs. How many balls did Brissett throw that night?
Oh, God, not
like,
many.
Like 12?
Yeah, you're relying on special like teams turnover so they get the ball at the 20.
I just think
it's a better operation than what you give them credit for, this Jaguars team. It really is.
So I have no respect for the Jags. Maybe they'll put that right. Maybe Doug Marrone will put that right in my stupid fat face, but that's where I am today. I just don't think this is going to be a ball game.
One fat guy to another?
I do. I think this is a quadruple bye. So we've got that on the board. We did some Bruins and Celtics, and even J.D. Martinez earlier. 5 at 125, Maz. That number's going up. Oh, goody. Right back to your phones. Ron in Rhode Island on the Pats. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I know how you like to predict Monday's headlines, and I'm predicting this is going to be Brady's bloody glove game and tell Murray to relax.
Okay, babe. Murray's never going to relax, and I think that, too, is going to be the Monday headline. Brady perseveres, ultimate warrior, Brady, you know, adds to his legend. I think that's what we're getting.
Probably. I mean, I can't see Jacksonville generating enough offense to win this game. Sorry.
Here's Mike and Woburn hanging on the bees. How you doing, Mikey?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Listen, that game last night impressed me for a couple different reasons. First, they were coming off that emotional game with Claude, where a lot of guys on that roster might have had a score to settle. And you go on the road against a team where you really don't have a rivalry with on a back-to-back when they don't have a game the previous night.
And they go down 1-0.
Yeah, it had letdown city written all over it, and then they just turn into a millstone and grind that team to nothing.
Can you believe, Mike, can you believe they're this good?
No, I don't. I went into this season hoping that it would be, and I was actually like, you know, happy that there were some minor injuries and a lot of the young kids were getting time, because I thought this was going to be more of a developmental season. You know, I had no idea that they were going to get two top six forwards out of draft picks in the last few. You look at that 2014 draft now where they got Pastrnak, Heinen, Bork, the kid Donato. We're talking about a draft now that is up there with 2006 in terms of franchise-changing.
So that was 14. Shirelli was gone by then, or was that still Pete?
No, Shirelli was here, but they did have the average one guiding him through the pick.
Yes, Keith Kretzky, right.
So, who he conveniently has taken with him to Edmonton. Unfortunately, the average one can't prevent him from signing guys like Chris Russell to four-year deals. Saturday night, Mike, everybody wear black. We are going to bury the Canadiens. The Bruins are burying Montreal. That franchise is in shambles, and it stems back from stupid Molson
Subban
demanding they trade Subban, exactly. And it's going to be so good to shove it right in all those red, white, and blue francophones' faces that the Bruins, who they thought were dead and buried, are better than them now, and they have literally a long road back. And hopefully, you know, they're sort of relevant because it's better to beat them when they're meaningful. But I would love to just squash them to nothing. Everybody wear black. It's the Montreal funeral Saturday.
It's the elimination party. That just got me excited. They're 16 points behind you, and you have two games in hand. I think you should have buried them at this juncture.
See, the Julian story in Montreal fascinates me, and not for the reason it fascinates you. They gave him a 5-year contract.
This is year one.
Right.
Last year wasn't year one.
5 years beginning this year. They gave him the rest of last season plus five on top of it. And they suck. That team is quit. Like, typically, you look at that and say, you got to fire the coach. They can't. They just gave him the job. They can't fire the coach now.
Since Cassidy benched Tuukka Rask, they've lost 3 games. That was in the second week of November.
In 27 games, they are 23-4.
So the 4 were losses, but overtime shootout losses. They've lost 3 times in regulation since that benching of Rask.
44 out of a possible 54 points.
The NHL standings, 1-31. You're third.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. It's unbelievable.
I thought you would be third to last. Not third.
It really is. It's unbelievable. I told you. They are the best story in town. I didn't say the biggest. I said the best.
Okay.
Most positive. I know it's a foreign word for you.
We don't do well with those stories. So let's move on from it immediately and get back to the biggest story in sports, the Patriots and Brady's thumb.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Footballs today?
I'm not talking about that.
Did you practice today?
I was out there.
How was it? It was fun.
Tom, how confident are you that you will be playing on Sunday?
We'll see.
Why are you wearing gloves at the press conference?
I've worn them before.
What exactly happened on Wednesday? The collision that you had with the teammate?
I'm not talking about it. Yeah.
Have you played in a game in more pain than you're in right now?
I've played in a lot of games with pain, so.
Bill in Needham. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Mike, no offense to you and your source, but my sources are telling me this injury is totally fabricated.
I think your source is on crack. Totally fabricated.
No,
So Bill, everything they've done is a fake? They were just play acting?
It's more infighting between Belichick and Brady. You see, you know how Giselle does not want him to play football any longer. She used her stature as a supermodel to leverage a model agency to tell Tom he had perfect hands, a la Ray McKechnie, and he wears the gloves all the time now.
Everywhere
he goes, and Belichick thinks it's a revenge for Alex Guerrero, but he has to wear the gloves.
I see. That was a put-on. I get it. I thought he was serious.
Oh, no, on the inside, I'm busting up laughing.
But there are fans who think the whole thing's a put-on. There are fans who think the whole thing is BS.
Yeah, Bill's just playing games with the Jags. Mind games, he's already got the game won.
He didn't play games like this. He may have played games today, and I agree with Maz. Listing Brady as questionable is a game. Come on. He's playing. Everyone knows he's playing. At worst, you know, since he missed practices, he probably has to be on there somewhere, so he should have been probable. Listing him as questionable, like there's some question of whether he's going to play or not, I think is a total put-on. And I think Brady not admitting he's going to play today was a put-on. Because he's playing. We all know he's playing. But everything else, real. Real as the day is long. And again, I'll just, you know, the NBC Sports Boston picture we keep showing of Brady on the practice field yesterday with Hoyer pointing to his hand and pointing to, you know, frankly, even just that webbing between his thumb and his forefinger, right, where maybe he got cut. So if you're saying that's a put-on, now you're enlisting players to play act as if this were some sort of play. And I'm sorry, they are not taking time out of the week of the AFC Championship game to bring players aside, work with them in the locker room, let's do this, let's do that, let's play act to block out a scene and then play it out on the field in front of the cameras to what? Put one over the Jaguars? Who are their 9-point favorites over? What are you?
Seven.
What are you kidding? At the time, 9. No. He hurt his thumb.
Something happened in the practice. I just don't think it's anything that's ultimately going to affect the outcome of the game. And that thing today, that was a yank job. Please, he was just jerking people around up there today. Are you going to play on Sunday? We'll see. Stop with that garbage. You think does anyone really think there's any chance that Brian Hoyer is going to be out there in the field in the first series?
Big Jim Morey?
First series, no, but I do think it's in play that Brady bangs up this hand further, and he could be out pretty quickly.
Whoa. That's a different thing.
No, we're different. Now you're saying he has an injury during the game. That could happen to anyone. I'm talking about as it stands.
No, I never thought Hoyer was going to start this game. No, Brady's going to start the game. How long he lasts will remain to be seen.
Do you think there's any condition under which he would be pulled from the game other than a severe injury in which he was not medically cleared?
I'll say he throws like 3 or 4 picks real quick.
He's in the game to finish the game.
Hmm. Well, does Bill really feel that strongly about his quarterback?
Murray, if he throws 3 or 4 picks in the first half, it's still about 2 or 3 fewer than Hoyer would throw.
I'd rather one-arm Brady than stupid Brian Hoyer, please.
He's not coming out of the game unless the doctor says he can't go in, and in which case, Bill will still shoot a snot rocket at that doctor and say he's going in. He's playing the game. We know he's playing the game. Justin in Pembroke. Go ahead, Justin.
I just think the Jags are the most overhyped thing in the NFL right now as far as the defense goes. They played the second easiest schedule as far as offenses go in the NFL. They let up 44 to Jimmy G, who, mind you, was Tom's backup while he was here. Not that he's not a legit quarterback, but still. And this past week, they let up 42 against Ben Roethlisberger, who's probably the most out-of-shape professional athlete in sports right now. I just don't see them beating the Patriots, or at least Tom Brady the Patriots. Even Brian Hoyer, I think, could probably do some work on these guys. I think they're all right. I think they're a solid defense, but they're definitely not the defense they're being made out to be.
I don't see them beating the Patriots. I agree with that. And there's ways to talk around the 42 they gave up to Pittsburgh. Gasper just did it, and he raised some good points. I mean, 21 of those points for Pittsburgh, you could sort of explain away. Two of them were long bombs on fourth down that were sort of prayers. And the third touchdown came with 5 seconds left when the game was over. So if you want to say there were some plastic points in those 42, fine. The Garoppolo game where he put up 44, there was an interception return for a touchdown, another short field on another turnover. You want to say that there's some plastic points in there? Fine. The one I do keep going back to is the strength of schedule. Like, for example, and Sosie gave us this. The Jaguars have 55 sacks on the regular season. That's a crap ton. 55. You know how many came against Indy and Houston alone? Wasn't the number 20?
20.
20! 20 of their 55 sacks came against two teams, Houston and Indy, with backup quarterbacks and atrocious offensive lines. Indy's had a problem on the offensive line for years, one of the worst in the league in the last couple of years. And Houston had this big blowout with their tackle, Dwayne Brown, and they were a total mess up front, too. So, strength of schedule. I think Jacksonville's ranking, while it's a good defense with good personnel, their rankings are largely because of the schedule they played. I believe that. Just like your defensive rankings last year.
And by the way, I was
a result of an easy, crappy schedule you played.
I was double-checking something that Sosie said. The 10, I think he said those all came in two games.
Two games.
Meaning
10 in one game, 10 in the other?
Right. And I just checked it. In the opener against Houston, Jacksonville had 10 sacks.
Aye, aye, aye.
10 sacks. So against those two teams, the number's even higher. Keep going. I'll get you the exact number.
Man, that's insane. So I think Jacksonville has some good individual talent. I'm not sold on their defense either as a whole. Joe in New Hampshire. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Murray, or Big Jim, sorry. Don't mean to call your last name.
No, that's all right. Hi.
All right. Well, my mom was a huge Giants fan. The two phone calls still haunt me to this day, my brother. It was awful. But anyway, my two quick questions were, is this going to be like the best defense or the best offense that the Carolina or the Jags our defense is going to face? I'm going to screw this up, and I apologize.
So is this the best offense Jacksonville will have faced all year?
Is this the best offense that Jacksonville will face all year, and will this be the best defense that Jacksonville will face all year?
No, you're not the best defense they've faced all year, and I can't even give you their schedule, but I don't think you have a great defense. Will this be the best offense they face? I would even say no. I think Pittsburgh's offense right at this current moment is probably a little bit better than yours. So I'd say no on both questions.
28 sacks total to those two teams.
28 at the end of the day.
Half of the sacks that Jacksonville got this year.
We're in the four games against them.
We're in the four games against Houston and Indianapolis.
Indy.
Yep.
Wow.
They had 10 sack games against both of those teams. They had a 10 sack game against Houston and a 10 sack game against Indy. And in the other ones, they got four each. So half of their sacks came in four games.
Wow.
Best defense that the Jags have faced this year? I don't know. You could maybe make an argument looking at the schedule.
Ravens?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to drop the 44-7 game on my head in London. Go ahead.
No. Maybe the Rams, if you want to make a case for them in that front seven, or Seattle. But at that point, when they played them in December, they had already lost most of the guys that are important.
So,
they lost Richard Sherman. And
I mean, maybe by ranking, the Patriots ranked fifth in the league in points allowed. Isn't that right? Fifth or
sixth?
Yeah,
I think that's right.
So maybe it is. By stats, it is. But I don't, you know. I think Jacksonville's going to be limited offensively, not by you, but by Blake Bortles and themselves. Chris in Rockland. Go ahead, Chris. Chris!
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
Listen, I don't know why everybody's so upset here. I think that Tom Brady's going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to turn around, sign Jimmy G back, and
okay,
everything's
going to... I'm going to let you go. We're not doing that today. Sean in Gardner. Go ahead, Sean.
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
Would you say that Brady's press conference today was national?
Yeah, well, sure, it was national.
And it's going to be played probably hundreds of times today?
Yes.
What were the logos on them gloves?
Yes, Under Armour.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So he probably made $1 million for three minutes wearing gloves today.
So
all you June gloomers out there, I got two words. Cha-ching, ding-a-lings.
So do you think he's making it up?
Have a good day.
Okay, he doesn't want to answer it. They were talking today in the midday. I mean, are Patriots fans' skin so thin they can't acknowledge that he cut his thumb?
Probably, yes. Yeah.
I mean, like that guy?
Yeah.
Like a 60-year-old child. Like, can't admit that Brady banged his thumb up in practice.
Yeah. Oh, he jumped on the opportunity, though. I mean, there's no question those Under Armour gloves were prominent.
Oh, no doubt. So I was going to say that the midday guys were talking about, before Brady came out, that if he was wearing his TB12 gear, that they would take that as a real good sign that he's healthy. He's going to go out and play a good game. Cause then you want to say TB12 method works again. Brady beats injury. Brady beats time. TB12 method, pliability, the whole thing. And that if he wore generic gear, it'd be a bad sign because he wants to distance the TB12 method from how he's going to play. He can't, other than the gloves, he was wearing generic gear, not even Patriots logos. He was wearing like a plain gray sweatshirt and a black hat. So based on their little, that was their little dime store analysis there on what he was wearing and what it meant.
Yeah, and to shoot down that kooky caller's theory, too. So this is courtesy of Fox 25 News, home of Sarah Underwood, by the way.
Very good.
So they contacted Under Armour to see if you could find those gloves, because you apparently can't find them on their website. They say, thank you for reaching out, the company said in an email to Boston 25 News. The exact glove that Tom was wearing in that picture is a glove that is only offered to Under Armour's NFL players. You can't buy the glove, so he's not trying to hawk gloves, dummy.
Hey, but the logo, I mean, I'll grant you that. He made sure Under Armour got their, you know, got their showing. That's fine. The bottom line is they're winning the game. They're not losing to the Jaguars. Here is Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I don't care how much you downplay the Jaguars and a joke operation that they are.
Do you think he's sniffing the game?
No, I don't.
So, why are you worried?
Because one hit to that injured hand to Brady's, or he lands on it incorrectly, he's out of the game, and in comes Brian Hoyer. And it's a full-on disaster scenario.
Oh, no, it's a victory. It's still a victory. He can throw sideways.
Have you seen any of the clips of how he played in that game against Kansas City in that wild card game from a couple of years ago?
I saw it, yeah.
Oh, he sucked.
You know, I'll tell you what. I remember the game.
Me too.
They couldn't move the ball at all.
I don't think it's a stretch to say it might have been the worst quarterback game in the history of NFL postseason play.
Well, so Murray's so scarred by it that he just ran the, you know, just pulled up all the clips to
hear it again. Yeah.
It was nice of you.
So, yeah, no. If it's any, if Brian Hoyer sniffs the field, they're doomed. Doomed.
Hey, I get off the bus at Brian Hoyer. You're on your own on that one.
You can
drive that one off a cliff. If they have Brian Hoyer in a quarterback, I'm not taking the Patriots.
I am.
Not with that clown.
I am.
No
and
way.
And it's what we'll have 9 months of questioning why they traded Jimmy Garoppolo and the timing of it, and why didn't you keep him for an insurance policy, especially if you got the second round pick? Does Bill even stay because now he's mad and he's subjected to watching Brian Hoyer blow this game for him when he could have had Garoppolo? Oh, see, you nod with this smile on your face. Yeah, there's a lot of meat on that bone, Murray.
There's some meat on
meanwhile,
that.
I'm shaking back and forth. No, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me.
So, look, I told you, to me, the reason I go Patriots in this game is because of Bortles. Okay? I've said that all week. I'm not changing my mind. But we were talking about the Jacksonville defense a minute ago.
Yes, sir.
The fact that half of their sacks came in four games against Houston
two
and
teams.
Indy.
Half their sacks came against two teams.
Okay, that whole points against thing, have you done any sort of analysis on that?
No, they're first in points allowed, right?
Yeah, right. Fewest points allowed in the league. Do you realize that they allowed in two games, let me give you the six best games they played all year defensively. Cleveland, 7 points. Number 32 ranked offense in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns. Okay? Two games then they played against Indianapolis, in which they allowed a combined 10 points. That was the number 30 ranked offense in the league. Then they played the Cincinnati Bengals. They allowed 7 points there. That was the 26th ranked offense in the NFL. And they played two against Houston, which was ranked 17th, thanks to Deshaun Watson, whom they faced neither time.
They faced him. They faced the Texans before Watson took the job and then after he got hurt.
Correct. They faced him in the opener when he came in relief, but they had shut down Savage completely in that one, and they allowed a total of 14 points in two games against Houston. Against those seven crap bag opponents, they allowed 45 points in seven games.
Thank you.
6.5 points a game.
Strength of schedule.
They really have played garbage.
Garbage.
And then you go to some of the other ones. They gave up 27 at Arizona. They beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. They allowed nine points. I would also say that early in the year, Pittsburgh looked like a mess. On offense especially. They looked like a mess. Roethlisberger was horrid. And as bad as Pittsburgh was in this last game, they did score 42. So I'm starting to wonder, too, whether the Jacksonville defense is a little bit of a paper tiger.
You're welcome. They are. This is not a worthy opponent. Second tier, second city TV, Murray.
I mean, they played 32nd ranked offense, the 30 ranked offense twice, 26 and 17, and all the damage of the 17 was done with the quarterback they didn't face.
It's like you last year. Like your defense last year, which again, we got
worse.
We got to the Super Bowl, and you saw that the defense wasn't as good as their rating. Why? Because you played an easy schedule last year. Strength of schedule matters every year, whether it's your team or not. I don't want to get scolded next year when we do this again, when the Patriots have another crap bag schedule and they put up big numbers because of it. We're doing it now to Jacksonville and you don't have a problem with it. So we get to do it to everybody, including you. Denny in Rhode Island. Hi, Denny.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good. What do you got?
I love your free-form party. A stat. Roethlisberger, and I looked it up. It was a stat in last Sunday's game. Any playoff game, which he's played a lot of, that he's thrown for over 275 yards, he's lost. And it's true. He's 0-6 in any game he's thrown over 275 yards. My second comment is the term that we hear all the time, the walk-off homer, the walk-off hit. I got to tell you guys, I am so sick of hearing that. Why you guys would let so bland a term come into lexicon, the sports, is unbelievable. When somebody hits a game-winning homer, which is dramatic, or a last-minute hit to win a game, I would love to see all sportscasts do away with that walk-off terminology.
Okay, Murray, get on that. Seriously, yeah. You need to change the walk-off terminology.
Yeah, I'll get in touch with all the broadcasters. Yeah, no, I'll tell Sosi, too,
yeah,
on
please
Sunday.
Tell him. That?
Start a petition on Twitter.
Can't walk it off anymore. Mike and Methuen, what do you got, Mike?
I think the problem with the Jaguars' defense is I just don't think that defense can close. Those may have been plastic points last week, but that was a game, the last 2 minutes of the game. And it's the same formula with all these like fast defenses. I think the Patriots are better conditioned. It's the same reason that they beat Atlanta last year. They'll run around all over the place. It'll be a tight game early on, and then late in the third quarter into the fourth quarter, they pull away. Just so they're better conditioned and they're better equipped to deal with the sort of the pomp and circumstance of all this stuff.
Well, those two things are absolutely true. The conditioning usually is in their favor almost every time. I also think it's a rhythm thing. They, you know, their first couple drives against Tennessee last week, then it looks hot. And they found their rhythm. And after we went down 7-0, they started dumping it off to Lewis. Brady got in a rhythm. The tempo started. And the next thing you know, and they scored every time. So whether that comes in the first quarter or the third, they're going to find their rhythm in this game and they're going to put up points, is what I think. Whether Brady's throwing right-handed or left-handed, they're going to find their rhythm and put up points. And I don't know of any defense, the current, you know, currently constituted. There's some good defenses in the league. I don't know if there's any great ones that could stop you once you get in your rhythm. And I think Brady's hand's going to be healthy enough for him to find that rhythm. Sandy in North Andover. What do you got, Sandy?
Hi, how are you?
Good, Sandy.
I just have a couple things. One of the things is, you seriously, guys, think that the questionable with Tom Brady is the truth. He's probably sitting home laughing right now, and Belichick too, because you know that they do not want to give things away, which they're very smart not to do, because they don't want to get the media all hyped up and distract their concentration, and that's why they're so great.
Sandy, no one thinks he's questionable here. He's probable, and he's beyond probable. He's 100% to play, in my opinion, and I think in theirs too, but I think maybe so they didn't, you know, he missed two practices, so they have to put him on there. You can't miss two full practices and part of a third today and say that he's a full goal, or you can't put him on the injury. You have to put him on the injury report.
You could have put him as limited.
You should, but no, but then they have to, today on Friday, they have to give probable, questionable, doubtful. Or no, probable doesn't even exist anymore. I've been saying this all day. I think they changed this year.
No, right. I think you're right. It's either questionable or out, right?
It's questionable.
Limited, questionable.
No, Jim, you're confusing two things. Those are practice reports, how much you practice. Once you get to Friday, I'm sorry to be frustrated, but I am. On Friday, you have to declare what he is. Questionable, out, doubtful, probable. But I think this year they did away with probable.
It sounds right.
I so don't pay attention to this because I don't play fantasy. Up. Again, I blame the fantasy people.
Brady's playing.
Like I don't care about the injury designations. But I think that this year you can't do probable anymore. It's either questionable, doubtful, or out. And I'm not even sure if they do doubtful anymore. I don't know if you can look it up quickly.
Michael?
Yes, sir?
At the bottom of today's injury report from the Patriots, it says game status definitions, out, doubtful, and questionable.
Right, so you can't even do probable anymore.
Right, probable doesn't exist. Right.
So my feeling is if you miss 2.5 days of practice during the week, you got to land on there with something. Like, you can't just say he's 100% because it just, I don't know, maybe that looks too fishy. So they got to, otherwise he would have been probable today, but you probably can't do that anymore. But this nonsense of him at the podium not admitting he's going to play was a Yankee of your wanky.
Oh, yeah. They're just jerking people around. That's what they get, you know, they got off doing that today, the Patriots. They love that part of it. I told you, and when Gasper brought this up, it's such a great analogy. It's like Gronk in the Super Bowl, and he's worried that Gronk, you know, Gronk was actually hurt in the Super Bowl, you know, back in 2011, the 2011 season.
So Vinny on NBC Sports Boston actually pulled these pictures. You noticed something from the media day with Gronk that day that, you know, led you to smell a rat.
Right. He didn't have his brace on. No brace, no anything on at media day that day when he was sitting up on the podium. And everyone said, oh, what do you know? Gronk's fine. Gronk's healthy. And you and I sat down to do the show that day and I said, I smell a rat. The Patriots know the whole world's a media day. They send him out without a brace. Like, they're trying to, you know, they're throwing you a red herring there. That whole thing is, you know, go chase this one down. He's fine. And then the game started and he wasn't. So what do they do today?
Just the opposite.
Exactly. Of course, they show you one thing and then they do the other.
Gloves.
He's fine. He's fine.
Ish. Fine enough.
Yes. And right. Good enough is the way I would categorize. That's a better way to say it. You're right. He's good enough. And they can win with him the way they're not worried about this. If they were, they would have had him out there today throwing his hands around, talking with his hands, no problem, with a little Band-Aid on his hand or something like that. They did the opposite. Brady saying, we'll see on Sunday. Come on. You're going to take the cheese on that? Who could possibly be stupid enough to eat that cheese?
Murray?
No, he's playing, but that thumb's still banged up. And I'm not believing it until I see him throw a football. He's hurt. I'm worried. You're not going to shame me into feeling otherwise.
He's not that hurt. And I'll tell you what, I'm really starting to look at these numbers. I'm starting to think this Jacksonville defense is a fraud.
Oh, they're getting blown out.
Really, again, look at who they shut down. Cincy, Cleveland, Houston, and Indianapolis. Suck, 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 suck. They all suck, all five of them. Four teams, six games, they all suck. Six sucks, bad, suck, bad games. Oh, God, what a bunch of crap they've played. I'm done.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. No one says it like they do, like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what, are you nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Jimmy.
Nobody.
Nobody.
We have Mad Mike going off about anyone. You want to take a guess?
It has to be this thing the other day on Paul Pierce yammering in Danny Ainge's ear.
Yes.
No, it's about a certain fan base that you would like to see the Patriots urinate all over.
Oh, yes, correct. Yes. Yeah, this too. This, folks, you may get to witness firsthand if the Vikings make it, and, you know, you're going to be there, but if the Vikings make it, the tool bag horn that Minnesota plays after
the
a good
gal
play.
Gal horn, I think, is what it is.
No, it's a Viking horn.
Yeah, I believe it's called a gal horn.
You know you're dealing with a bunch of old tool bags when they blare that thing after a penalty. When you start doing that for a flag, you, sir, are an a-hole. You are a tool. That makes you a bad Little League parent. That makes you a bad person. Don't celebrate the flag. Especially now with the ticky-tack pass interference call. They can drop that thing at a moment's notice.
Well, there's been a lot of years of misery.
So the guy's covered, bailout flag, play had no chance, but the idiot back judge shows the yellow flag. Those Minneapolis, whatever they call themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minnesotans.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sneaky bad people.
Jeez.
Sneaky bad people, and that horn is the latest indication.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.